It's Friday. You know what that means. That's right. Susie Sunshine, as we call her, Susan Schmidt from Westwood in Dallas, is joining us on the Super Celebrity Hotline. And there's a lot to discuss here on Trumponomics. And let me just start with this. Earlier today on the, by the way, Hannah Stanley in for Anna DeVlantis today. And
Hello.
We do that just because it's easier to pronounce her name.
Yes.
Now, the story on the CNBC this morning, I thought this was very interesting. There's a debate about why we're seeing this incredible surge in the Dow. And one analyst, and I thought this was interesting, referred to it as Donald Trump's magic carpet, which is emboldened by winds that we're already blowing here as economic development is, you know, the world markets are heating up, and that seems to be increasing everything. But there are some other analysts are saying that a lot of this has to do with the hope of change. Pardon the expression, if you will, amongst CEOs and other types for what and investors for what this the Trumponomics are actually going to look like. Where does Susie Sunshine come down on this?
Well, she's going to come down squarely straddling it because it's a little bit of both. It truly is. We are seeing an increase in the economic indicators. Leading economic indicators are positive. That's a very good sign. And not just for the U.S., but we're seeing that globally. So all of that is very positive. We just are ending up earnings season where we've had all our CEOs from publicly traded companies come out and talk about what their companies have done, how things were in the fourth quarter, and their outlook for the coming year. Again, very good, largely positive. And then on top of that, since the election, and even while the election was ongoing, we've heard these sound bites of tax cuts and less regulation, infrastructure spend, fiscal spend, which is music to the market's ear. So that's optimism built on that. And then we have these leading economic indicators, positive. You really get to straddle both, and that magic carpet is having quite a ride.
Yeah, and the president's taking full credit for everything that's going on here, as I think any president would. I think he gets... it's just kind of the way he does it. He's not subtle. I don't know if you have noticed this, Susan Schmidt from Westwood
really?
And Dales, senior
I'm
portfolio
so
manager. I cannot imagine the senior vice president portfolio manager. I cannot imagine why it is that the people don't take him as seriously as they should. But he does have a tendency to exaggerate. Yeah, that's true. Now, but the fact is that, you know, I've seen other people. I remember when in the early days of Barack Obama, in all fairness, he would say, well, I just inherited a complete crap show and there's nothing I can do about it. And we're just going to try it. So there was a lot of blaming of the previous administration. You're hearing that here. Although one would argue that what Donald Trump has inherited versus what Barack Obama inherited in 2009. That's apples and oranges right there.
Well, it is slightly different. We're well on the way to recovery and past the recession, where when Barack Obama took office, we were just going through the recession, just coming out of it. Recovery was very uncertain. One of the things that has helped the markets and certainly helped the rhetoric around President Trump is that economic indicators did start to look better and started improving over the summer. So they had a couple of months here to ramp up, and he got a nice runway as he then got elected and as he has taken office. And that's, I think, worked to his favor. The market's now yet another new all-time high. We are seeing another, this is the fourth week that we've seen the S&P close up for the week in a row. We haven't seen that since July. It's a strong streak in the market. Supported by earnings, you know, that information has been good, so it hasn't derailed the story. And then on top of that, you've got a lot of expectation, which unfortunately may not match reality in terms of timing, but the expectations are very high.
Let's talk about something here that's important, though, because you talk to a lot of business people. We run into business people, and then they say, "Where's my money?" There are a lot of different ways that we take a look at this, but here's the question I think a lot of people have, especially those who are optimistic that whatever this administration is going to do is going to be better for their business structure. And that is tax reform. Deregulation is one thing. That's industry by industry. You're starting to see industries price in and try to figure out what those deregulations, what that deregulation is going to look like for them and how they're going to benefit from it or not in some cases. But taxes affects everybody. So if you want to turn around and stop and talk about tax reform, if he drops the corporate tax rate, he may also take out some of the deductions that tax that businesses rely on and that other businesses that are the beneficiary of that deduction rely on for business from that other business. Did I make that perfectly clear?
As clear as I think you can make it, Rose.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Let me give it a try. So, yes, he is talking about, with his tax plan, dropping the corporate tax rate and the personal tax rate, so the individual tax rate as well. But he's talking for corporations and businesses about lowering their overall tax rate, but you're taxed on your profits. And so some of the things that you deduct out of your sales before you get to the profits are things like interest expense. And there is discussion that perhaps some of those things that are being deducted won't be allowed. So your tax rate may go down, but the actual amount that's getting taxed might go up. Overall, businesses are looking through this and they still think it's going to be a net positive. Where we get into some complication around this for businesses, particularly those who have imports or exports, is that we're starting to talk, his tax plan is starting to involve the border adjustment tax, which gets much more complicated. And so now there's another layer of complication where you might be having to pay an additional tax on anything that you import, but you might get a credit for things that you export. So tax rates and a change in the tax rates itself, it's never a simple question and a simple answer. It's always been complicated and involved, and that's one of the reasons it's been so difficult to change over the years. This isn't the first time that Congress is going to be addressing this. They have been wrestling with this problem for a while.
Yeah, well, that's going to be because every business, every lobbyist on K Street, as much as we drain the swamp, I don't think they get to that part. That's a little high ground right there amongst the lobbying row in Washington, and they all want to be a part of tax policy. That's what they've been. That's what they make their money for. And they want to protect whatever it is. Because, for example, if you take services out, for corporate tax purposes, if you take services out like advertising, right, or legal services, or name whatever, or even interest, you change that formula. You've impacted lawyers, banking, and media. What could possibly go wrong there? Right. So I think that's going to be he's got, and again, you know, the one thing about the president that I think his supporters and we're all getting a sense of is he didn't really care about what people say about him, except that he cares too much. Right. He cares completely. He wants to push back. He wants to punch people in the face to say the wrong thing about him. And then he feels better about it. And so I don't think. But when you say to him, no, you can't do it, he goes twice as hard. Right. And that's the thing that I worry about with whatever this policy is going to be, although he is a business guy at the end of the day. But why don't we know more about the details by now, do you think?
Well, remember that this isn't something that can be taking place just via executive order. So he can't just write something from his desk, sign it and say, this is the way things are going to be. Any sort of reform like this.
But he can with tariffs. Wait, let me just stop you for a second there. He can with border protection issues. Right.
He can, but to a limited extent. It's not the overhaul in tax reform that he's talking about. So to engage in an overhaul and change of so many line items and so much of the tax code and how it's implemented, we really have to get Congress involved. This has to be something that is passed by the House and the Senate. And so we're not seeing a lot of detail on it yet. We're hearing a lot of, again, sound bites, border adjusted tax, different tax rates, new tax brackets, fewer tax brackets. We're starting to hear some of the different points that are still being debated. So all of that is, I think, still being hotly contested between the accountants, the business people, and then within Congress, because, of course, every congressman, just like the lobbyist, has to represent their constituents. And so if you have a big retail base as your constituent and you might be big importers, you're going to be worried about that. If you have a lot of service industry in as your voting base, you want to protect them. So there's a lot of debate back and forth on this. Again, not an easy topic, and I think that's why we haven't seen any detail. As a headline, it's great, very difficult. And that's what one of the traps might be for this market going forward, is that the market, I think, is really hoping that this reform takes place. However, the market is also assuming that it's going to take place in a relatively quick time frame. And we're going to see something by the end of 2017, 2018. That may not be the case. This administration is trying to tackle a lot of big issues all up front.
I have a sense that, interestingly enough, he was at Boeing today introducing the 787 Dreamliner, 787-10 Dreamliner, which is, by all accounts, one of the most complicated international trade products ever made. Right, it's got obviously hundreds of thousands of parts, and they're made in dozens of different countries by dozens of different skilled workers in different skill sets all over the world. And Boeing right now, you know, they're an interesting company because, you know, they're a defense contractor. They're one of the two major airplane manufacturers, large commercial airplane manufacturers in the world, and there is. You know, they've got a complicated footprint, and you don't want to hurt Boeing, but you also don't want to be taken advantage of by Boeing. And then in the meantime, you've got all these trade issues. I mean, it's, you know, he was right there in the middle of the ultimate complication of this, and yet saying and making what is arguably his best speech of his presidency so far, at least most calming speech, because it wasn't crazy.
Well, yes. So far in the 6 weeks, it's interesting. Yes, he was there, you know, addressing the population from the Boeing plant in South Carolina. And it is a very complicated issue. Remember that Boeing is one of the companies that was one of the first ones for him to attack via tweet. And so, you know, talking about Air Force One. And so I think the Boeing CEO is a good example of how CEOs of big companies are learning to interpret President Trump's statements and his tweets and work with him in a dialogue.
And realize and so that it's Boeing, the opening salvo of a negotiation.
Exactly. Right? I think the Boeing CEO is at this point on the forefront of that, as we've seen several contact points here. The first one, again, opening salvo, didn't exactly start out in the most cordial fashion. However, you know, there is clearly a dialogue going on, and Boeing is a great way for President Trump to start to understand and learn about some of these issues with the complicated issues around international trade and specialized manufacturing.
Yes, exactly.
How we've moved mm-hmm. to a global economy.
Well, we'll see if he actually did or not. Luckily, he's going to go play golf for a day, and then he's going to have an airport rally tomorrow. He's going to have a nice weekend. He's going to feel better about himself by the time he gets back to work on Monday. He needs a refresher.
Thank goodness.
Don't we all? All right, Susan Schmidt, Senior Vice President, Portfolio Manager at Westwood in Dallas. Thank you very much. Appreciate it as you're on with us every week.
Thank
and,
you.
And putting up with me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Susie Sunshine, as she's known. Right now, Violetta Powdermatic Rain Cloud, little rain cloud, is got the WGN Turbo Trouble Spots.